Okay, we're on Resh Ayin Vav Halacha Bet. We're going to go through different scenarios on the issue of a goy does malacha for a Jew. Now, as a general rule, anytime a goy does a malacha for a Jew, it's always going to be forbidden to benefit from that malacha. If the goy does a malacha for himself, as a general rule, it is permissible for a Jew to benefit from that malacha. I don't care if the goy did it in his house, your house. I don't care if you asked him, you didn't ask him. I don't care why he did a malacha for you, but if he did a malacha for you, you can never get benefit from that malacha. Now again, as I mentioned in a previous class, we're talking about malachas that are defined as halachic benefit. We are talking about malachas defined as halacha benefit. We spoke the example that if you have some light on in a room, and the goy makes more light on in the room, that's fine. That's not called halachic benefit. It's when something is totally new. The room was pitch black, unusable. Now the goy made the room usable with the lights. So as a general rule, you cannot get benefit for that malacha. I don't care if you didn't ask the goy to do it. I don't care if the goy broke into your house and put on the light for you. But if he did it for you, you cannot get benefit from that malacha. So that is the summary of halacha bet. And I'll see it inside. But just remember, a goy did malacha for you, no ifs, ands, or buts, you may not get benefit from it. I will give you one variation of that rule, and that's the follows. When the malacha the goy does for you is doraisa, nobody in the world can get benefit from that malacha. Not you, not your neighbor, nobody. But when the goy does a malacha derabanan for you, it's you that can't get benefit from that malacha, but I could. I come over to your house and a goy did a drabon for you, I can benefit from it. Well, here's a good example a post can bring, is a goy delivers a package for you. It's not muksa package on Shabbos, but the goy came from outside the tchum. He came from outside the tchum. So the tchum is a rabbinic issue, is a rabbinic violation, and therefore if the goy brings a package of clothes for you for Shabbos, you can't wear the clothes. But I can wear the clothes. Like Shabbos morning, you knock on the door, you're getting dressed for shul, knock on the door. Here, I have a pat UPS. You ordered clothes 2 weeks ago on the Amazon. Here's your clothes. So you put the clothes down. You can't wear those clothes. The goy broke the rabban on Shabbos for you, if not more. But let's say the best case scenario. The violation was only tchum, was only the rabbanon. You can't wear those clothes, but I could. Halacha bet. Yisrael ve'einam Yehudim. Jews and goyim, sheisibu yachad, they're sitting around at a table. The hedlik ena yehudi ner, and a goy flips on the light. What's the deal? Do I have to leave the room? Can I use the light? What's the story? Says halacha very clearly. Imroi ve'enam yehudim. If most people around the table are goyim, mutar lishtamesh la'oro, you can get benefit from that light. Ve'imroi v'yisroel. But most people around the table are Jews, or filu mechza or mechza, or even if it's half-half, asur. You can't get benefit from the lights. Pretty clear, right? Straightforward. You can see what's going on between the lines over here, is we assume if there's a majority of goyim, he did it for the goyim's interest. Majority of Jews, he did it for the Jews' interest. But half-half is still asur, because we don't know. Ve'im yesh hochacha, but if there's proof, if there's ever proof that a goy turned on the light for a goy, for example, he himself flips on the light and quickly, uses the light. He has a book in his hand and he can't read the book with the light there is. There's no light. He turned on the light. It's clearly he's doing it for himself. He has a book in his hand. He wants to check a certain page. He put on the light for himself. So even if there's a majority, even everyone's Jewish, everyone in the room is Jewish, we see clearly, when we see clearly, that the goy did the malacha for himself, even Jews can benefit. Says the Rama, says, Yesh oimrim, some say, the mutter loyim arlein yehudi ladik lo ner l'sudat Shabbos. Okay, we are getting into the most famous ruling of the Rama in the laws of Amir la'akum. A very famous ruling that Rama basically quotes an opinion that you can tell a goy directly to do anything. As you can imagine, that opinion is very, very radical.
Yeah.
And all the posts can basically go against it, but the Rama cites it. We'll see. But that's what we're getting into right now. The Yesh Omrim, the Rama is quoting the Baal Ha'itur. Yesh Omrim, some say, the Mutter Loimar La'ena Yehudi, you're allowed to tell, not him, tell! A goy. Lahadlik lo nerlis to that Shabbat. You have a dark room, you want to eat your Shabbos meal there? Hey, Mr. Goy, please turn on the lights, I can eat my Shabbos meal. Why is this Mutter? Mishum the Sphira lay, because this view holds the Mutter Mir La'ena Yehudi. You're allowed to tell a goy, afil b'malacha gemura, even an outright malacha d'oraisa, direct instruction, b'makom mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah involved.
So the mitzvah of eating the Shabbos meal overrides.
Right, it's so important.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He would anytime, basically, in other words, anytime there's a mitzvah, there's no ban on telling a goy to do malacha. Anytime a mitzvah is involved, there is no ban on instructing a goy to do malacha. Radical, radical opinion. As a general rule, we do not paskin like it, except for like one exception for a shul. Lights go out on Shabbos. You're allowed to tell a goy directly turn on the lights in the shul or in the middle of davening. Public needs. That's the only time this opinion is relied on. It's never relied upon in your private house. Skipping the brackets. She'al pizeh. According to this, Nahagu Rabim, based on this, Nahagu Rabim, turning the page of my book, Nahagu Rabim Lahakel Bedavar, people have become lenient with this matter. And they would tell it to bossing around Goyim to turn lights here and there for their meal. Bifrat besudat chatuna, especially if it's like a wedding meal, Sheva Brochos. Oh, Mila, there's a bris taking place, need more light in the room. Ve'ein mocha b'yadam, and nobody's protesting this behavior. Ve'yesh lahachmir, but you should be machmir. B'makom she'ein tzarech gadol, there's no true need. You should be machmir. Do not rely on this opinion that allows you to tell a goy to do absolutely anything for absolutely any mitzvah. Do not rely on this opinion, says the Rama. Why? Tahabroyev ha'poiskim cholking asfarazu, because most poskim disagree with this ruling. End of halacha. So this is a fun one. It's a very, very famous or infamous ruling of the Rama. We're on the Mishnah Berurah, brings us to Tesvav in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a little Tesvav over there. Mishnah Berurah is addressing now, if a goy turns on the light, we said, if most people around the table are goyim, you can get benefit from the light or from any malacha the goy does. We assume he did it for the goyim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Roy, the Enem Yehudim, if most people are under goyim, then Mistama Da'at Deruba Kavid. Because we assume that the goy is trying to benefit most of the people around him. Most of Jews, he wants the Jews to be happy. Most of the goy wants the goy to be happy. V'afilim achar kach lisrabu Yisrael. And furthermore, even if at one time it was a majority of goyim, but the goyim leave and more Jews come and more Jews come, it's all goy, all Jews now? V'nitosfu aleihem, more Jews came. Or Shahalkulem and Yehudim, the Goyim leave. You can still get banned from the Malacha. You can still get banned from the Malacha. And so too he ends off over here on a Chumra note. V'chen lehipuch berov Yisrael. The reverse is also true if the majority was mostly Jews, meaning if when he turned on the light, it was a majority of Jews, you're not allowed to get banned from the light, even if most of the Jews leave and a ton of goyim come, you still can't get banned from the light. We go according to the moment the light was lit. We go according to the moment the malacha was done. If at the moment the malacha was done, it was a majority of goyim, a Jew can get benefit from that malacha, even if all the goyim leave and 10,000 Jews come, all can get benefit from that malacha, whether it's the light, whether it's anything. You get benefit from Malacha. But so too, the reverse is true, the Chumra. That if originally it was mostly Jews around the table, so when the Goy put on the light, you're not allowed to use the light. The Goy did the Malacha, you're not allowed to do the Malacha. Because we said a moment ago, we assume he did it for the majority of the people around. If the majority were Jews, the Jews can't get benefit from the Malacha.
So they should leave.
If staying would force them to get ben from the malacha, yes, they have to leave. That's true. But if they can stay without getting ben from the malacha, they can stay.
Oh, okay.
But the vort over here is, the main point over here is that even when it was usher, it was usher because there was a majority of Jews, even if more goyim came and the goyim now become the majority, the Jews still can't get benefit from the malacha, because when the malacha was done, we assume it was done for the Jews. Okay. Test Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah, mechza al mechza, it's half-half. We said if it was half-half, it's aser, because they don't know who the goy was working for, who he had in mind. Hatam, as it says over here, Hatam, what's the reason that it's half-half, it's aser? Mishum daleka lamekam ala demilsa. We can't establish. We don't know who he really did the malacha for. In Bishvilein Yehudi Avid, did he do it for the Goyim? Or Bishvilein Yisrael Avid, or did he do it for the Jews? So not sure. So no, you can't get benefit. You have to be machmer. But yesh oimrim, and some say, no, the mechza, half, he stumbled Hashem Shneam Nasa, he did it for both. And that's also enough reason not to get benefit, because he did it for both. He had the Jews in mind. Once he has the Jews in mind, you can't get benefit from it. Okay, Yud Zayin. Shatzorach Eina Yehudi. We said it was done for the sake of a goy, and we can tell it's done for the sake of a goy. You can get benefit from it. Rotzel Loimar. What do we mean? Latzorach Atmo. The goy lived for himself. I don't care. There's a zillion Jews around the table, but the goy lived for himself. He lived for himself. Ukid Mesayim Labasoyf. As we conclude at the end. So we concluded that the Jew can get benefit from the malacha as long as the goy did it for himself. Hu adin im yesh holchacha shilik bishvil eze ino yehudi acher, or if you can prove that he actually did the malacha for a different goy, not for himself, but you know he did it for a different goy's interest, not for the Jew's interest, that would be okay as well. Vim anu yodim shasta gam bishvil Yisrael, but if we know he did it for the goy and for the Jew, asur, you cannot get benefit.
Once, if you did it for a Jew who left, and you're there, and you then come in later,
you can't get benefit from it because he did the malacha for a Jew. Exactly.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know if you weren't there.
Okay, so if you, right, yeah, you don't know, yeah, you're not obligated to know. But there are many examples of situations where you wouldn't know. For example, if I leave, I have a dollar from the Rebbe, from the Lubavitch Rebbe. The Lubavitch Rebbe gave me a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, that dollar is not muksa. That was not muksa, because I don't spend it. I won't spend it. It's not money for me. For me, it's like a souvenir, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So if I left that dollar on the table, you wouldn't touch it. You think it's muksa. You need me to tell you it's not muksa.
Yeah.
And vice versa, by the way. There's a lot of examples of vice versa. So here too, so you need someone to tell you whether the light, can you get better from the light or not. If no one's around, no one's around. But as a general rule, yes, some things you have to inform oncomers. You can't get benefit from this. It was turned on for a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay. The chen kasam again of Ram by Mibir Alach. Okay, Yud Ches. Shumishtamesh, the goy is using the light or the malach he did. Hayumiyad, right away. The goy right away is making use of the malach he just did. It's clear he did it for himself. Yud Tes. Yud Tes is going on which issue? Yud Tes is going. Oh, so even though there's a majority of Jews, as long as the goy did it for himself, the Jews can get benefit from it. We assume he did it for himself. And a light is something very unique that you can turn on a light for one person and 100 people can get benefit from it. Okay? Because light is light, right? We have lights on in this room. Whether it's just three of us in this room enjoying the light, or you fill up every seat in these three rows, we're all going to enjoy the light equally. Once the light is on, everyone enjoys it equally. Okay, now we're getting to that controversial Ramah. Well, the Ramah said that you can tell a goy to do absolutely anything for absolutely any mitzvah. The example was Suda Shabbos, Sudat Shabbat. You want to have your Shabbos meal. Chaf in the Mishnah Berurah, Sudat Shabbat. You can tell a goy to put on lights for the Shabbos meal. You're in the pitch black, which we learned together that when it's pitch black, that's called halachic benefit. For a goy to turn on a light in a pitch black room, that's called halachic benefit. It's forbidden. We also said, though, there was some light in the room already. For a goy to turn on a light is not such a big problem. But anyways, the example over here, obviously, is the room is pitch black. Because it wasn't pitch black, I don't need this radical leniency to allow me to use a light. We know normative halacha says if there's a light on in the room already, and the goy just makes more light in the room, especially if you hint to the goy, it's 100% permissible. So the Shabur just brings out what should be obvious. We're talking about a pitch black room. Sheyoshev b'choshech, you're sitting in the dark. Ein lo shum ner le'echol, there's no light to see your food. Aval im gamar sudaso, but if your meal is over, af shadai in lo beirach birkat hamazon, even though you did not yet bench. Meal is over, you need a bench, lights go out. Or you have some kind of light enough, I guess. You cannot ask the goy to put on a light. It's very interesting that he says you can tell the goy to put on a light for the Shabbos meal, but you can't tell the goy to put on a light in order to bench. It's a bit odd, because benching is a mitzvah daraisa.
Yeah, right.
But the Shabbos meal is more rabbinic. I'll check the notes out on this in a second, but it does look a bit weird. Pshita da'asu tzavas en Yehudi la'adik lo, you would not be allowed to tell a goy to put on a light just for benching. Davi shush lo b'makom mitzvah. It's telling a goy to do something. Shalo b'makom mitzvah. He says, not a mitzvah. Well, benching not a mitzvah. We'll check that up in a second. Mihu. Im yesh lo shum ner, ve'avar tziva en Yehudi la'adik lo ner acher. But if there was a light in the room, and you sinned, you told the goy to put more light in the room, shari lahanos bimenu. You're allowed to get benefit from the new light the goy puts on, be'od shaner rishon dolek, as long as the first light is still burning. This is very deep. This is very far-reaching. Today it doesn't have much practical effect, because today once you flip on the light will be on for 6 months until you close off the light in the room. But in the olden days, when it was candles, so a candle would last 3-4 hours, the candle would go out. So he says over here, if you told the goy, in violation of the law, to put on another light, another candle, where there's already one candle burning, you may get benefit from the two candles now until the first candle goes out. When the first candle goes out, you can't get benefit from the candle of light the goy put on. That's what he says over here. Now, regarding that Birkat HaMazon thing over here, just to check on the English side. Oh, there's a footnote over here, footnote I. No, it's not, no, it's no good. Check H. No, there's no good reason in H or I why it's okay to tell goy upon the light for the meal, but can't tell goy upon the light for the benching. Weird. Okay, moving right along. Chaf Aleph, 21. Still on that radical leniency that you can tell a goy to do absolutely anything. Aval shvus Yisrael atzmo l'kule alma asur. But having a Jew do something, even rabbinic mitzvah, rabbinic malacha, l'kule alma asur, of course it's forbidden. Afil b'mako mitzvah, even if there is a mitzvah involved. What's going on over here? In these few words, the following is going on. Mishnah Berurah's word, you might think, if I can tell a goy, which is a rabbinic violation, to do a mitzvah, then I myself can do a rabbinic malacha for a mitzvah. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here. Mishnah Berurah was concerned that since telling a goy to do something is a rabbinical prohibition, and we're allowing you to do this rabbinical prohibition for the sake of a mitzvah, we're worried you might come to do other rabbinical prohibitions for the sake of a mitzvah. So the answer is no. The Jew can never do any prohibition, whether biblical or rabbinic, even if there's a mitzvah involved. This radical leniency is only for a goy to do a malacha, whether rabbinic or biblical, when a mitzvah is involved. Chaf Beis, b'makom mitzvah. So we said you can do a mitzvah, have a goy do a mitzvah. The leave nice, listen to this, Beis HaKnesset b'Shabbos. What about to build a shul on Shabbos? All your day in a Yehudi through Goyim. Kosel v'magen Avram, the Magen Avram writes, the Asur afilu l'dasa itur, even with this radical leniency that the Ramah quotes from the itur, wouldn't allow you to allow Goyim to build a shul on Shabbos. V'ayim v'prima gadvim shemesik, look over there in the prima gadvim, he concludes, mishum d'havi mitzvah she'ino averes. The mitzvah of building a shul is not a mitzvah that has to be done right now. It can be done 6 days a week, it doesn't have to be done 7 days a week. It can build it 6 days a week. And over there, the Magen Avraham forbids having a goy build a shul in any which way or arrangement. Unless there's a concern, if you don't let the goy work on Shabbos, he's going to walk away from the project. Okay? So it says, "Sheyesh chashash shemai yibatel chas v'shalom ayedeze binyan beis hakneses legamri." So it seems that there is a bit of a leniency that the construction of the shul will be abandoned. The project won't go on. The goy says, "You only work on Saturdays. I ain't building your shul." He's only going in the world to build the shul. L'chayre, you'll have to let the goy to build the shul.
And he was on a time penalty contract, which he could only comply with if he had to work on Shabbat.
So he says kablanus here, even by kablanus it's asr. So you'd be obligated to extend his contract for those Saturdays, the 24 Saturdays in the 6 month period that the contract, so to speak, has to be pro rata. You have to pro rata the guy to be able to give him a fighting chance to finish the shul. Okay. So he says, the az yesh lahaka the kablanus. If the project will be abandoned, there's what to rely on to be lenient by kablanus. The eshtar, the apay, the schirus, mutter, the kaigavna, and perhaps even through an hourly wage, you will be permissible to hire the goy to build the shul if otherwise it wouldn't get done. Im lo yirtze nehudi b'kablanus, the goy, doesn't want to do the kablan arrangement, which is ideal. He only wants to do an hourly arrangement. That's fine, but the shul won't get built otherwise. Chaf Gimel is on the comment of the Rama that no one seems to be objecting to. The people are lenient and are bossing around goyim all Shabbos long for any which excuse. Chav Gimel, the Ein Moched, no one protests this. Umutav sheshogigin v'alyu mazidin, best to leave them sin without knowing and to let them know they're sinning. That's very interesting. Just looking at the footnote at the bottom. So he quotes on the bottom over here, the Aruch HaShulchan, that says in his day and age, no one is relying on the Ittur, and indeed you should rebuke those who rely on it, and they probably will listen. Chaf Dalet is where the Rama says you should be strict unless there's some great necessity to rely on this. And the Shla was strict on relying about on this, even Tzarech Gadol. V'sheken ra'anu hagim b'kilos chashuvim. There were very chashev congregations, kilos. Sheyoshvim b'chashecha b'motzei Shabbos. They would sit in the dark as Shabbos ended, rather than have a goy turn on the light while it was, before Shabbos ended, before it got dark outside. Afil b'chatuna, even if it was a sheva brachos, they'd sit in the dark rather than rely on the yitur. Ad she'amru kal baruchu, it's like David Marif, they would turn on the light. The chenag agon harash, the rash would hold like this as well. The rash was a big posek, the grandfather of the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Rash would not rely on the Ittur when they were having Shalosh Shuras by him. And this was this was 200 years ago or more, and they'd have candles, and candles would go out, they'd go out. So if it was Shalosh Shuras, it went dark, he would not have to go out and put on the lights for Shalosh Shuras. He would sit in the dark till Shabbos ended and then put on lights himself. Prima Gadim said you can be lenient towards the end of Shabbos to have a goy put on the light, the tzarech mitzvah, af keshua daim bein hashmashos, even if it's not yet dark, dark, dark. I mean, between sunset and nightfall, bein hashmashos, you could have a goy. Yeah. In other words, he's saying that you're allowed to rely on the ittur bein hashmashos Saturday night. The kol shekhen be erev Shabbos bein hashmashos, and also Friday night bein hashmashos, you can rely on the ittur, the tzarech mitzvah. The bevadai mutter, it is mutter to rely on the ittur in bein hashmashos. And that indeed is normative halacha, by the way. That is somewhat normative to tell a goy directly to do anything needed. They're still before dark. Friday night before dark, Saturday night after sunset, you can rely on the itzer to tell a goy directly. Chaf hey is the Ramah telling us not to rely on this lenient opinion. Most people are machmer. One exception, says the Mishnah Brura, where you can rely on the Bala Itter, is if the Eruv in the community is down, you can tell a goy to fix the Eruv. If you You're going to save hundreds of people from breaking Shabbos. So you're allowed to tell the goy directly to fix the yid. So that people don't come to sin and break Shabbos. And we can rely on the Itter. He's big enough to rely on him to allow you to tell a goy directly to do even a biblical malacha b'makom mitzvah derabim, where mitzvah performance for the congregation, for the community, is at stake. Primagadim seems to say the same thing. But I'm come and see later on more about this in 307. Rotsu lemar, the sham gamken mevor de loki bala itur. Over there, we're going to say again, you should not rely on the bala itur. So that is Bet, very, very famous halacha in Bet, the halacha of Amir la'aku. We're turning to Pisei Tshuvos now. It's entry Zion. We're on entry Zion. Page Shin Ayin Aleph. 371. The heading is Malachos Vesherutim, Malacha services. Shenoistim Goyim Avor Klal Ha'anashim. Services that Goyim give everyone around them. Ubeinehim, the millions of Jews around. You're at a hotel, the Goy is doing Malacha. Whether it's Jewish people in the hotel, Goyish people in the hotel, right? The Goy has a route, a routine, a job. He does his job without looking who's Jewish, who's not. He does his work.
Well, okay, so this is quite interesting. So we just came back from Barcelona. Okay, so
we're there. How was it?
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah. So you were there for Shabbos?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we stayed in a hotel around the corner from Beit Chabad. So we had our meals in Beit Chabad.
Oh, they have public meals every Shabbos?
I don't know about every chance, but I think the indigenous community there is strong, and it was mainly the indigenous rather than
really?
The tourists. Yes.
Really?
Very nice. Chabad, it was not a Chabad Nosach, it was the Spanish and Portuguese.
Really?
It's very interesting. Anyway, the reason I mention this is that the hotel knew, we didn't ask, they knew. They put us on the first floor, and we just had to stand in reception, and they would manually open the electric doors. They would walk us up, and they would swipe the door key. Didn't have to ask.
Yeah, it's acceptable. It's acceptable.
They were so attentive. They're being primed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
years and years, they want the customer.
Well, this is it. Because they Chabad recommend the hotel.
Yeah.
How's security getting into the shul?
Very good. So there was two guys outside. The cops across the street. So the guys give you a Q&A. You ask the right questions.
Yeah. I was in Italy.
The same
I wanted
way
to get
in Porto, in Portugal. Portugal.
On Portugal. Oh, also security in front of the shuls.
Yeah.
So I went to Italy once, as in Rome, and I went to the end of the shul. So what was the question? What's this week's parsha?
Well, the funny thing is, we got there on the Thursday night, and we did like a recce, wanted to find out where it was. And so we buzzed up, and so luckily there was someone in, it was the mashgiach was in there. And he said, who are you? And I explained, and he asked the same question, what's this week's parsha?
Oh yeah, that was the question?
Yeah.
Wow. Small community of Barcelona.
No, there's 1,000 families.
Yeah.
That's not small.
No, that's small.
I don't know how much of it is that in, but I tell you, there's about at least two or three shuls, and this shul had a very strong local kehillah.
Madrid is about half of that, or less.
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but the Rav was from Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, here you go. The Goyim are working for everyone in the hotel. So, Sith Beis, we said in the Shulchan Aruch, Yisrael and Yehudi Shehisibu Yachad, Jews and Goyim are on the same table. Vidukah Eino Yehudi Ner, the Goyim turns on the light. Im Rav Eino Yehudi Mutter, most of the people around are Goyim, we can get benefit from the light. Im Rav Yisrael Aser, most of the Jews are around the table. Most people around the table are Jews, you can get benefit from the Malacha. Im Yesh Hochachas, Yisrael and Yehudi Madlika. And there is a proof that the Goy lit for himself, or for any other goy, afal pi sherov Yisrael, even though the majority of people there are Jews, mutter, it is mutter. Vim rov Yisrael, okay, fine. Says the piske, ubichlal ze, including this, kol minei tarchishim shonim matzuyim meod bizmanenu, all the developments in our day and age, the scenarios, asher nachrim oisim malacha, where goyim are doing malacha, oinoisnim sherus bikudas hamemonim aleihem anachrim. They're doing malacha, they're giving you some kind of service, because they have a boss to listen to. A goyish boss to listen to. But lo habek klal miham mekabim asherut. They don't ask, are you Jewish? Who am I serving? How am I helping? You know? Im Yehudim, Im Nachrim, they're asking, are you Jewish or Goyish? They don't ask. Shal pi ro, sheroi Yehudim, mutu lehanois bi malachtoi. Was that Shal pi? Oh, so even if there's a majority of Jews in that hotel, you're allowed to get better than the Goyish work. Aval im yesham rak Yehudim, but if there's only Jews in the hotel, and there wasn't Jews, they wouldn't do this type of service for their customers. You would not be allowed to get benefit. Okay, you go to your hotel in Spain, they're not checking to see if you have a bris. If you want the service of opening the door of the elevator, they'll give you that service. They don't check if you're Jewish or not. Okay, God, we see in the hotels, we see in like these closed residences. Joint residences, b'shutafim laharbe dayarim. Many people live in the combined living. Ubeinayim Yehudim and Achrim, Jews and Goyim are living here, whether it's a hotel or whatever, dormitory. V'mishartim hanachrim madlikim es ha'or, and the Goyish workers are putting on lights. V'mafilim hasakois, they're putting on heat. V'shar miskane kirur v'chimum, or any type of air conditioning, hot or cold. Maliot, elevators. They operate the elevators. This is interesting. Whole thing about elevators. So when Piki says, I wrote more about this in Reish Mem Ches Beis. Let me quickly look in Reish Mem Ches Beis about the elevators. This is not talking about a Shabbos elevator guy. It's talking about a goy pressing the buttons for you.
Right.
So this is interesting. This says, look at Reish Mem Ches Ois Beis. Okay, I got it.
So the elevator is not considered to be a conveyance.
What does it mean, a conveyance?
A way of getting around.
It is a way of getting around. The question is, if the goy presses the buttons, are you allowed to get benefit from it? So let's see. So he says, so you should avoid using a maalit on Shabbat or escalator.
So he's saying it is a conveyance. And you should walk up the stairs.
You should. But he says, even you want to be lenient for holy your tzarech mitzvah, you're old, you're weak. Okay, he says you can be lenient. It's not clear if he's saying lenient over here with the Shabbos elevator or being lenient with the goy pressing the buttons for you. So he has footnote 28, 29. I'll tell you what he says quickly. It's not clear to me if he's only saying the Shabbos elevator can be used. Or you could have a goy press a button for you. Yeah.
Now in Porto, we were on the bottom floor, but the bottom floor was actually floor number 4. Because there were
dining rooms
and 2, 3, and 4. I mean 2 and 3. 1, 2, and 3 actually. So
the first floor of the bedrooms, but it's still the floor.
The first floor of the bedrooms.
So you had a lot of walking to do.
Yeah.
It's not clear over here if he's allowing Malit Shabbat in general or even when the goy, it's a regular elevator, but the goy presses the button for you. Sorry, Fion. He does allow the Shabbos elevator for sick and old and weak and all that stuff. We all know that stuff. But I have a sneaky suspicion that Mikra Din, for an old person, you're allowed to tell a goy or hint to a goy, press floor 27. I think so. I once
what we did was we left the key at the desk. When we came back Friday night,
there's no Eruv.
Right. We came back and we asked for our key and said, And they said, you want me to open up the door for you? And I said, okay, yeah. So they went up in the elevator and we took advantage.
That's ideal. That's ideal. Okay.
Yeah, same thing. It's basically the same one.
Yeah.
These people are very respectful. They know the situation. We're not treading an untrodden path. It's a well-trodden path.
Okay, so fine. We said Maliot, we got stopped in the middle of the column with the elevators. V'shar machshim chashman kiyotze bazeh. It seems to me that's even pressing the button. Because I'm talking about when the goy is operating the heater and the cooling and the elevator. That's what he says. It's in the same sentence as the goy operating this, this, and this. So I think the elevator is also the goy is operating it. It's not an automatic. The goy pressed the button. Right. I think you're this is what's relying. Now there's the other issue, which may or may not be true, that every time you get on an elevator, the more weight causes more electricity and more circuits and more power. That's a different discussion. Yes. Talking about the concept of having a goy do the malacha of the elevator for you. So that, I think, is what's relying on. Okay.
Well, the other thing was that you had to put the key into the slot to turn on the lights.
Yes, that's the way it works. So you have to get them to do that as well.
Not easy.
Well, the better thing is that you leave one of your door keys
in the light.
Before Shabbat. So
right. And then they say, should we turn on the lights? And they say, no.
You have to think ahead.
You have to be one step ahead of them. Okay. Ach kol ze bilvaj ein mosipim lacham yuchedes avori yachid. But of course, we can't have the goy do out of the ordinary for you. The heter is because it's a goy working general. But we can't have the guy work something special for you. The rishu manachri la'atzmo kama anashim neheni misherus v'shmotehem ukedome. And if the guy wants to write down your name, he asks you, what's your name? He wants to write down and show his boss, look, I helped this family, that family. K'tei l'daveach l'mifalav hanachri, to tell his non-Jewish boss. Ein b'ze isr klal, there's no problem. Shela'atzmo hu ose, he's doing it for himself. Okay. So that is a goy in a public situation. You don't have to get any benefit that a goy is doing anyways as part of his routine, regardless of who's in the hotel, who's in the area. Ches la'sois malach ide goy b'avtacha shehu yehaneh b'peros malachazu. Now this is an interesting one. Get it complicated, a bit complicated. To do malacha through a goy on the premise that the goy himself is going to get benefit from it as well. Tricking the goy into getting benefit. That's how I would word this. Can I trick the goy into doing a malacha for himself? That's what we're going to talk about now. Lasoit malacha de goy b'avtacha, promising him shehu yaneh miperot malacha zu. He will benefit from the fruits of this malacha. Tricking the goy to do something for you, but it's really for him. You trick him, it's for him, but it's really for you. So the Mishnah Berurah said, v'im anu yodim shasa gam bishvil Yisrael asur. The Mishnah Berurah said very clearly that if we know the goy is doing malacha for the Jew can't get benefit. Okay? Piskei Tshuvos. Umaskanato, the conclusion of the Magen Avraham, dasoimech lahakel, if one wants to be lenient, dahadlik letzorech atzmo uletzorech Yisrael, there is a leniency, says the Piskei Tshuvos, contrary to what we learned in the Mishnah Berurah a moment ago, back in Shulchan Aruch. Contrary to what we learned, the Piskei Tshuvos is bringing to our attention there is what to rely on and allow yourself benefit from the malacha when a goy did the malacha for himself and the Jew. K'divrei Rashba, that is the ruling of the Rashba, ukipashta d'sugya ein limchos biyado, and it seems that you shouldn't protest those who want to be lenient. So we see here a leniency we did not see previously, that the goy did for himself and the Jew can get benefit because the goy also did it for himself. In the Mishnah Berurah, we said not like that. In the Mishnah Berurah, we said that any time the goy does malacha with a Jew, with the Jew in mind, I don't care how many other goyim get benefit, can't get benefit. So he said over here, there's a leniency you can. In the case of the goy and the Jew, you can. The Od Danim with the Achronim, there's a lot more discussion in the Achronim about this. Now listen to this. Even those who are machmer not to let you get benefit when the goy does the malacha for him and the Jew, even those who are machmer, the Mishnah Berurah that we saw earlier, only, I'm trying to articulate this in English from the Hebrew, lo amru, he only said the chumra, le'esor, to forbid benefit, ela ba'oifen, de'ilu terech anachri lechud lo haya oisa malacha, if the goy would not have done it for himself, the Jew wasn't there. Aval im gam ole ha'yudi haya, even if the Jew wasn't there, hanachri oisa malacha, the goy would have done the malacha, Baburo, Babur Nachri Acher, for himself or some other goy, mutter liyehudi lahanois. It is mutter for the goy, the Jew, to get benefit from the malacha. Afshekavanaso gam letzorach haYehudi veGam shabubo Yisrael. Even though the majority of people around there are Jews. So again, we saw ideally if a goy does a malacha for a goy and a Jew, Mishnah Berurah said the Jew should still not get benefit. Coming along over here says no, you have what to rely on if it's both. The goy does the malacha for both Jews and goyim, the Jew can get benefits. And we said even those who are machmir, the Mishnah Berurah, are only machmir in the event that if there was no Jew there, the goy would not have done the malacha in question. But if the goy would have done the malacha in question, whether or not there were Jews, he seems to say in here, anyone can get benefit from that malacha. Okay. Now a story coming from the Aruch HaShulchan, very famous story. Uba Aruch HaShulchan, next paragraph. Kasa Bazel Loshan, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Nehirna, I don't know what that word Nehirna means, but I think once upon a time, it happened. The Yaldusi, when I was a kid, Hayu Nohagi B'Lel Shabbos B'Choyref, it was customary Friday nights in the winter, Shal Leilois Aruchin, it was very long Friday night, they would call over a goy to the house, and they would say to the goy, Lisholo, they would ask him, would you like a bottle of whiskey? Yeah, there's a Ukraine. What Ukrainian doesn't want a bottle of whiskey? They call the Ukrainian...
Vodka.
Yeah, Ukrainians, yeah, also.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, they called over these Cossacks, and said, you want a bottle of whiskey? He'd say, yes, I want. Veheshiv lo, the Jew would answer the guy, Ritzoneinu liten lecha, we want to give you whiskey. Avalmana say, what can I do? She'ef sharlim so b'choshech, I can't find the bottle of whiskey I want to give you in the dark. It's in that room, but the room is so dark, what do I do? V'haya madlik ner, so the goy happily lit a light to get his whiskey. V'shoyta yayin seraf, he drink his whiskey, v'holech lom leave. V'shtam shula oro, the Jews continued to benefit from the light the goy lit. V'nira deheter gamaru, this is completely permissible, says Aruch HaShulchan. Completely permissible, but v'eino Yehudi she'eino ragil bo. A goy that doesn't know you and doesn't know our laws, so he can't be part of the game. You have to get a stranger goy. Dafka, a stranger goy, he doesn't realize
it's a different one every week.
Exactly. They're one over a week. It's like the goy you sell chametz to every year. He knows what's going on exactly. Yeah? The state of Israel uses the same Arab in Abu Ghosh, you know, for the last 72 years.
Yeah,
they know what's going on. Hey, you can't fool the Arab that's getting all the chametz and all the money. Okay? So here too, don't use the same goy every week.
Okay, but so in the same scenario, in those days when it was bitterly cold and they needed the fires lit on Shabbos morning.
Okay, when it comes to fire and cold, you're allowed to directly tell a goy to light the heat. Yeah. Or not even pikuach. Chole she'ein bo sakana. Someone who's sick, but not deathly sick, but has a stick, you're allowed to tell a goy to do malacha. Chole she'ein bo sakana, you can tell a goy to do malacha. Okay. That was the story over there. I just conclude. There's more conclusion over here. V'leka l'mecha she'marim. We have to make sure there's no concern that there's a real game going on. If you have the same goy every week, he knows there's a game going on. You want to avoid that. Even though the Jew is fooling the system, what do we care? The goy wanted his whiskey. That's why he lit the light. Interesting one. And based on this, When the goy knows the Jew wants to benefit from his malacha, this permission doesn't apply. Like we saw earlier, it would only, if the goy knows that the Jew is getting benefit, the Jew wants what's going on, as we said a moment ago, it would only work if the goy would do the malacha even if the Jew wasn't there. Okay? Ki birtzono betzluchit hayayin seraf. Because maybe he wants the whiskey. He wants a whiskey. So he knows you want benefit from the light, but he's also doing it for himself, so that's a bit of the heter. But the situation was that if the goy would only be doing it for the Jew, okay, it's a machlokes, we get benefit from it or not. Okay. And when the goy on himself, for himself, doesn't need the malacha, he does it to get on the good side of the Jew. He knows that he's got to do something for the Jew to get benefit. He knows our laws. He knows when yes and when no. So then everyone would hold, you can't get benefit from that malacha. Okay, if you know the goy is doing malacha for you and only you, there's no heter. Ukedin malacha nasis l'tzarich yehudi bilvad. It's like any other situation where the goy is doing malacha for the Jew alone. Afal pish b'sofo shel davar gam ha-goy nehena mikach. Even though ultimately the goy is getting benefit. Okay. Next entry, kites. Hadlakas or putting on a light. V'shar malacha doiraisa, and other biblical malacha. Al yidei goy, through a goy, letzorech mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah, tzorech gadol, great need of a beis hakneses in the shul. This is all going on that bal ha'itur, all that radical leniency the Ramah brought that you can tell a goy to do anything for any mitzvah. That's what we're commenting on right now. This whole entry is on that weird leniency. It's called the leniency of the bal ha'itur. And what's going to get very interesting now is where does he get that leniency from? So the Rama said, Yesh Aimri, the Mutra Lemar Lenu Yehudi, the Rama quoted the Bala Itur. You can tell a goy, the Hadlik Ner, let's do that Shabbat, to put a light on for the Shabbos meal. Yeshua Sfir Lay, the Mutra Amir Lenu Yehudi, Afil B'mlacha Gemur B'mako Mitzvah. Because that opinion held that you can tell a goy to do something directly, anything for any mitzvah. That was the Bala Itur. As he says over here, Behu Shitat Bal HaItur. Hayadu, it's very famous. Shall Pia Gemara Shehuta Amir Lenachri Tzarech Lachshirei Mila Huta Gam L'Shar Inyanei Mitzvah. Where did the Bala Itur get this idea from that you can tell a goy to do absolutely anything for the sake of any mitzvah? He gets it from the Gemara of a Bris, and the Gemara says that you can tell a goy to do anything in order for a Bris to be able to happen. Comes along the Bala Itur, and he says, not just Bris, any mitzvah. Any mitzvah. Uka'amur b'hemshach divrei Ramah, Ramah writes, Reila poiskim cholkim al svar azu, most disagree, ki ein lavi raya mi mitzvah mila. How can you be approved from the mila, from bris? She'atz mahutra v'shabbis. A bris is something that's inherently mutter on Shabbos. The gam le'inyin machshirei mila gufa matzil kam rishonim shalomdim b'divrei gemar sholitiru el shvus v'shvus. And some, even for bris, only allow rabbinic. So how could the Bala Itur take from Riz and apply it to everything and the Raisas? We don't like the Bala Itur. Where does he get this from? Very weak argument the Bala Itur has. Very weak grounds. So that's why there's no great need. And that's why all the later poskim forbid us to rely on the Bala Itur both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, even if there's a mitzvah involved, even if there's a great need involved. V'chein ha-shulchan aruch v'kamim v'komo satam la'esor v'hechlet. The shulchan aruch itself seems to aser it in several places. U'bizmaneinu yesh limchot b'yad mekilim v'zem. In fact, we should protest those who are lenient. Ki kvar pashat ha-min hag la'achmir. Because today, nobody follows it. And rightfully so. U'b'yecholteinu limchos ki yishmulanu. People will listen to us, just explain to them, but they don't follow this halacha, it's on the psak. Don't do it. Even if the mitzvah is going to pass, shini a Torah, even a biblical mitzvah, could go and shofar v'lulav on Yom Tov, of course. Lo yitira mila nachri b'malacha deraisa. You're not allowed to use a goy for a deraisa. Afilu yisbatol mila kayim a mitzvah. Even if it means you won't be able to do the mitzvah, that's how bad it is relying on the Baal Iter. V'rach b'malachas derabanan yitira tzarek mitzvah tzarek gadol v'shas tzarek. So, but you're allowed to rely on the Iter if it's a derabanan for tzarek mitzvah. He says. Ukfish yevor barchava b'simin shinzayin. It says more over there. Elaimi ra mechusar yedias. However, if you didn't know ha'iser, how bad it is, the ban. Asa misha asa de goy malacha deraisa. Somebody relied on the Bala Itter and had a goy do the deraisa. But makom mitzvah, in a case of a mitzvah, he puts in brackets for Torah or tefillah or suda or guests or any mitzvah that's about to pass. The guy didn't know. He went and relied on the Bala Itter. Yesh laho rose, you should paskin. Shirashayim lahanris mi amlacha. You're allowed to get benefit from the malacha. The guy didn't know. You get no. It's okay. You can rely on the Iter. You don't have to ban getting benefit from malacha. We have an ancient custom in communities. There was a custom, they would have a goy every Yom Kippur towards the end of the day for the Nila davening. A goy would come and put up extra candles, light candles. So people could read the machzor. The af b'chol Shabbos yidlika goy haneros b'shvil elu shikdimu lavo liftan spoikel beis haknesses lamar tiyulein b'lo mod. And even though the goy every Shabbos would light the lights in the shul every morning, Shabbos morning early, because people would come before davening to learn or to say tilim. Ugdoli adoros b'sifri at tshuvoseya and medanu b'zeh barchava, and the post can talk about this, they justify this. Today, however, you can put everything on a Shabbos clock. On Friday, do not rely on the goy. There's an emergency, unforeseen circumstances, you can be lenient and let the goy put on the lights for Ne'ila. That kind of thing. But ideally, get everything on a Shabbos clock. Okay. Fly through one more. Amir le'nachri la'soy samalach b'shinu k'lachar yad oli de grama kaitela goy to do a malacha in a backwards motion with his elbow, you know, grama indirect, all kinds of. So he says, "V'yesh lahachbir makom shein tzara gadol dar reposting cholkim asfar." Zu, don't rely on the Baal Iter. Okay, repeating that. Ukvar nispoyer she'im lahakel afilu tzara gadol tzara mitzvah lasoyis malacha deraisa. As we said, you should not rely on the Baal Iter to do any deraisa ali degoy rak malachas derabanan, only derabanan. The prima gadim next paragraph nistapek in yasa nachri malacha deraisa b'shinui. He has a question. As if I ask a goy to do a deraisa but a shinui. Mr. Goy, turn on the light, use your elbow, please. He thinks we're kooky, but I think we're nuts. But please, Mr. Goy, put on the light with your elbow. Why? Even if a Jew puts on a light with an elbow, has it din derabanan? It's usher, but it's only derabanan. We do malacha in an inordinary manner. So we let a goy tell a goy to do a malacha in a shinui. Would that be allowed? He doesn't come to a conclusion. He's doubtful. But if it's very clear that the malacha is done in a very half baked manner, there's grounds to be lenient. Now, can I tell a goy to do a malacha deraisa through grama? You know the light in the fridge is on. You can tell the goy to open the fridge. No problem. L'chatchila mutter. Grama, psik resha, and grama is mutter l'chatchila. Okay, afilu b'tzorach kolshu, for any need whatsoever, afilu shel tzorach gadol, even if it's not a major need. Avo malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, but the category of malacha being done not for their inherent purpose, a bit complicated to get into right now, but that category of malachas, Don't let a goy do that for you. Still on be very careful to be not to be lenient with this. Okay, so that is that. And this comes in handy because you leave your fridge light on, you gotta get out your food, you can tell the goy directly, please open my fridge and get out the food. Or just open my fridge for me and you get out the food.
It's okay.
Say for Marv.